You know, brethren, this Passover season has been unlike anything we have ever seen before. The world has been affected dramatically. There's been dramatic changes in our daily lives. You know, we prophesied so many different prophecies that talk about how things are going to happen so rapidly at the end of the age. And sometimes we maybe thought, well, how can those things happen so quickly? But now we're seeing exactly how those things can happen so very quickly. How the world has been turned on its head in just a few days and a few weeks. Now, the government has its directives, but we have the Word of God, and the Word of God gives us comfort. The Word of God gives us encouragement. I ended last week's message by quoting from Romans chapter 8, but let's turn there. Let's begin this message, a message of a great deal of comfort and encouragement and hope as we look at the Christ sacrifice. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8 once again. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? As is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, let us be encouraged by those words. Let us be comforted by those words. And as we are now looking at our preparations for Passover, which is coming very, very quickly, as I may mention, there are government directives, and we're following those. But there are also things that are commandments of God that he wants us to follow. Let's take a look at a couple of those real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, or examine herself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And let me add to that real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, a related scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So this Passover season, we are in a process of examining ourselves. We know we're sinners. We know we have need. We know God has provided that need for us, greatly provided that need through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So this Passover season, we want to examine ourselves with an eye toward rededicating ourselves to this way of life. We want to examine ourselves with an eye toward renewing our commitment to live for righteousness, to be faithful people of God. Now, this Passover examination, there are so many things that we can look at, but in preparing the congregation this year, I wanted to go through the three major portions of the Passover service. The first sermon I gave dealt with the foot washing. In that sermon, we discussed the power of humility, or more specifically, the healing power of humility. In the second sermon, I focused on the true spiritual manna, the true bread of life, Jesus Christ, talking about the bread that we break at Passover. And of course, today, we want to take a look at the last aspect of the Passover service, and this is the wine. Now, we as Christians appreciate, we understand the deep spiritual meaning and significance of Christ's shed blood on our behalf. So today, I'm not going to be giving you something new, but today we're going to take a look and we're going to review something that's so very meaningful to us. We're going to look at Christ's sacrifice regarding his shed blood that gives us life. Let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 54. John chapter 6 and verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. So this brings me now, good segue to the point I want to make in this sermon. And the point is this. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for us as Christians. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for us as Christians. Point number one. The blood of Jesus Christ pays for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ pays for our sins. Why did Jesus Christ command his disciples to drink wine as a symbol of his blood? What meanings are wrapped up in this extraordinary analogy that is vital to our understanding when we come to drink the wine at Passover? Notice Jesus Christ's own words. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. And we will be reading this on Passover evening. Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Brethren, we are so fortunate. God forgives us our sins through the shedding of Christ's blood. That's encouraging to us. That's comforting to us, and something that we keep in mind always as Christians. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. As we turn there, you know, it's a little difficult for us who are doing this because I don't hear any turning of pages. I can't see what you're doing. So maybe I'm waiting too long to start reading. Maybe I'm not waiting long enough. So just bear with us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Each sin, every sin, no matter how big and how small, how horrible it may be in our minds, you know, some of us have, we think some sins are worse than others. All sin will bring the death penalty. But we are cleansed from all sin. So what's the significance of this? What's the significance of the blood, Christ's blood, paying for our sins? Well, our sins are forgiven. The death penalty is removed. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a new lease on life. You know, if you could think about it, we were on death's row. And yet, God has given us a reprieve. As opposed to dying, we now are on the path to being glorified. I'm going to quote a verse here and not turn to it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. We're on the path to being glorified. Paul enjoyed peace with God. We enjoy peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We've got peace because we know our sins are forgiven. We've got peace because we know that we're going to live for eternity. We've got peace because we know we've got a loving God who has a tremendous future ahead of us, as Jeremiah pointed out. We've got access to God's grace because of the blood paying for our sins. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Access to God's grace. So point number one, the shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian and that the blood pays for our sins. Point number two, the shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian in that the blood purchases us. We are purchased by the blood. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20:28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." He purchased with his own blood. What is the significance of being purchased? Well, I'm not going to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it talks about how we were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20, we were bought with a price. The word bought there is Strong's number 59. It means to go to the marketplace and to buy. To go to the marketplace and buy. Thayer's Greek lexicon says this about that word. Christ is said to have purchased his disciples, that is, made them, as it were, his private property. So again, think of it along these lines. This is Satan's world. We all have been slaves to Satan. We have been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So in this world's slave market, we have come out, we've been purchased and bought out of this enslavement to sin. We have come out of enslavement to death. We have come out of enslavement to going into the lake of fire. Tremendous encouraging scriptures. Turn now, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. There's a fairly good section of scripture here I'd like to read for you. Romans chapter 6. We call this the baptismal covenant chapter. I always ask those I'm counseling for baptism to read this over many, many times and to think very deeply about what they're reading. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God, and you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life. So that is the beauty of the blood purchasing us. Point three. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian in that all peoples who have accepted that blood can now have a relationship with God. All peoples who have accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ, accepted Christ as their personal Savior, can have a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made with fleshly hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been brought near. Now, I relate to this as a person who did not grow up in the church. You know, I was in a situation in my life where I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a stranger from the covenant of promise. I had no hope and without God in the world. I didn't know that at the time. But you know, brethren, even those of you who grew up in a church, you also had to, by deliberate, you know, there's more, probably more of us statistically who grew up in a church who aren't with us anymore than those of us who grew up in a church who are now with us, who have stayed with us. So those of us who are second, third, fourth gen Christians, you have made a deliberate choice to follow God. You made a deliberate choice. You thought about it. You reasoned about it. You went for counseling. You repented of your personal sins. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You personally were baptized. You personally were given God's Holy Spirit. This is your church. But still in all, you know, all of us had to come to repentance. And now all of us have this relationship with God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to turn here, but I will read for you Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So all peoples, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, have a relationship with the great God. Significance of that? You know, there was a time historically when God was only working with just a handful of people in the Old Testament time, just a small number of people. He worked with Israel as a nation, but in terms of working with them to have them understand all the things we understand, just a very few people. Now, today, in this new covenant era, the starting of the new covenant era for those of us who are being called, we have an individual view. I'll quote to you Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As an individual, doesn't make a difference what color we are, what nationality we are, what language we speak, any of those things. If we are members of God's church, we are one. We are part of the body of Christ as individuals. We have a relationship with the great God. There's another meaning that we can look at this in terms of this relationship, and that is that we are a new creation in Christ. A new creation in Christ. Let me quote to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'll read this for you. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We are a new creation. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for us as Christians, in that now, because we have accepted that shed blood, we have a relationship with the great God. Point number four. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian, in that we have peace through Christ's shed blood. We have peace through Christ's shed blood. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. "By him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, predicated on all the things I've brought to you so far in this message, the Christian has peace because we've got a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, peace doesn't mean everything goes our way. Peace is not the absence of trials or difficulties or even death. When you take a look at the people of Hebrews chapter 11, they went through many severe trials and difficulties and death, and yet those people had a peace with God. And we know we've got a peace with God as we walk through our daily lives. We realize he's with us. We've had answered prayer. We've had God intervene in our life in so many different ways. We can't number all the ways. Now, the significance of this peace is that we want to keep that going. In your notes, you might want to jot down 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, where it talks about how we should pray without ceasing. As you and I are walking through the course of our life, We are always in instant prayer with God, discussing issues with him, asking for help in decision-making, asking for him to intervene in areas where we've done all we can do, but we can do no more. So we pray without ceasing. In your notes, you might want to jot down 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where it talks about how we study to show ourselves approved. So it's not just a matter of us talking to God. God talks back to us. We're having a spiritual conversation with our Creator. We talk to him. He gets to understand and know us in a way that's very special. Those who don't pray to him and don't study the word, he says, I've never knew you. But for those who pray and those who study and fast and meditate, to the degree we do those things is to the degree God knows. Now, he watches us, but he needs to know us, much like he came to know Abraham through the various trials he went through. So 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about how we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of God. It's by these things that we have peace as we go through our life's trials. In a scripture I've quoted to you on so many occasions, I just thoroughly enjoy this scripture. It's from the J.B. Phillips New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Let me read this to you in the Phillips. It says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You are his personal concern. Boy, that means a lot to me. Our God is not some God who sits off someplace where we can't see him and he's impersonal and we're just some part of a cog in some cosmic machine. No, he knows us. He's known us from the womb. He's known us from a time two cells got together. He knew us when there was only one cell before God was together with anything. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. As a Christian walks through life, he knows, you know what it is to have the presence of God with you, to have God going with you, to have Christ going with you. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Again, I will quote this for you. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ offers his peace to us. He's saying this shortly before he's going to go through the worst death that can be imagined. And yet here's a man talking about peace. And this way we understand peace is not just a matter of a lack of trials or difficulties. Peace is our walk with God. Jesus Christ had a walk with the Father. That gave him peace. We have a walk with our Heavenly Father, with our elder brother, through our elder brother's shed blood. You've got peace through Christ's blood. Number five, point number five. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian in that our conscience is purged to serve the living God. Our conscience is purged to serve the living God. Let's take a moment here and turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Again, we'll be looking at a section of scripture that we're going to read on Passover evening. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The shed blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience so that we can serve the living God. No, God forgives us if we are repentant. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Sometimes we don't forgive one another. But we need to appreciate the fact that we are people of God's grace. We need to appreciate the fact that we are no longer guilty in his eyes. We need to appreciate the fact we can go forward in this newness of life that we've been granted, not with our head hung down, not with this ball and chain of grace being dragged behind us. We can move forward to do what God's will is. We can move forward to do what God's will is. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 1. I think this is a favorite scripture for so many. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 9, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, and surely you've done that, and I've done that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Notice, God's faithful. We repent, he's faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, let's not shorten the hand of God. If we truly in our hearts and minds and our actions have repented of sin and we've gone to the Father and we've asked for him to apply the shed blood of Jesus Christ in that area of our life, let's remember that our God is faithful. Let's remember that our God is just and our sins will be forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as the significance of this, let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The purpose of all the cleansing was to allow the people of God to serve the living God. The Greek word for serve here is Strong's number 3000. According to Thayer's Greek lexicon, it means to render religious service or worship. We have been cleansed to serve, to worship the living God. Now that your sins and mine have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can accept that fact. We can worship truly. We can worship freely. We can worship effectively because we are worshiping in the Spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. For those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And brethren, we do that because one of the reasons we can do that is because our conscience has been purged. Please celebrate that fact this Passover. Do not allow Satan to drag you down with the various lies he wants to whisper in your ear. If you repented of heart and mind and action, you are sincere and you've gone to your Creator and asked for that forgiveness. That blood has been applied to you. Point number six. Point number six. I'll be taking a little overtime here. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is a deep spiritual meaning for the Christian and allows us, and this is kind of a offshoot from some things we've discussed earlier. The shed blood of Jesus Christ gives us bold access to God's throne. Bold access to God's throne. Not some sort of whimpering, crawling. I mean, we want to be humble. We don't want to be vain people, but we have bold access. The scriptures tell us we've got bold access. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Now, we have to understand what boldness means. We're not arrogant. We're not stiff-necked. We're not haughty. We realize in deep humility what our Savior has done for us. But we also realize, because of what he has done for us, that we can come to that throne of grace. We can ask for help in time of need. And certainly you and I, all year long, have a time of need. Let us finish by going to our seventh and last point. The shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian in that Christ's shed blood defeats Satan. Christ's shed blood defeats Satan. Amen to that. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. This is a chapter that talks about the history of the church. Notice verse 11. And they, Christians, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives even to the death. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Under the most dire of situations, people being persecuted, people being martyred, they would not give in to Satan. They had the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, to give them peace, to give them all the things we've discussed today, and many more things. This is not some list that has all the various aspects to it. Satan probably thinks in his mind that when Christians die, that he's won. That is not the case at all. Christians who die in the faith, their salvation is assured. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when Christ returns, they will be resurrected. Death is not a victor here. It's only a part of the plan of God. Final scripture for today that I'm going to read to you is over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 58. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and when this mortal is put on immortality, eventually brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin, of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Give thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, brethren, that concludes the three-part series that I wanted to deliver to you as the Chicago congregation. And for those of you who are listening in, we're happy to have had you as well. My overall point today, just to recap everything, the shed blood of Jesus Christ has deep spiritual meaning for the Christian. That was the theme of the message today. I had 7 points for you. Number one, the blood of Christ pays for our sins. Number two, the blood of Christ purchased Number three, all peoples can now have a relationship with God when they accept that shed blood. Number four, we have peace through Christ's shed blood. Number five, our consciences are purged through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Number six, Christ's shed blood allows us bold access to the throne of God. Number seven, Christ's shed blood allows us to defeat Satan.